Moloka'i Bound is a new short film directed by a native Hawaiian filmmaker. It features a brief interaction between a young man and a child whose uncertain relationship moves from resentful to playful to tragic, all within the span of 8 minutes. The film was shot on location in Kaneohe, and its dialogue is almost entirely in pidgin. Here's a brief clip.
All right, how's it?
It's okay. Would be better without the lihing.
Bruh, kind of Hawaiian is you?
Lihing moi isn't even Hawaiian.
Like Sam's anyway.
Get your own.
Oh, you like your name? Well, if you name me something strong like Ikaika, like a warrior's name, not Jonathan. Right, that's the name for a colonizer, cuz.
People call me Johnny.
People call me Noah.
In September, the film was screened at the Imagine Native Film Festival in Toronto, the world's largest presentation of Indigenous creative media. There, it won the award for Best Live Action Short. This year was the first that Imagine Native operated with Oscar accreditation, so is being considered for an Academy Award. Filmmaker Alika Maikau talked with The Conversation's Harrison Patino about the motivation behind the film and the long road to a possible Oscar nomination.
It's crazy. It's surreal because I'm still processing it, probably. I don't think anybody sets out to make a short with Oscar ambitions in mind. I mean, I don't know if people set out to make features with that in mind, but definitely not shorts. So the festival for Imaginative, this is their first year with Oscar accreditation. So literally, like, they announced that right before they announced the award for the best short. So it was like this really crazy 1-2 punch that I think I'm still processing, to be honest.
So getting into the movie itself, the setting and the scene of it is pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward, but it has a lot more deeper implications. What was it like to write this? What was the writing process like?
It was kind of a different writing process for me. I was sort of challenged to do it basically by my cinematographer. It all started on a trip to New Zealand. I was attending a film festival called Māori Land in March, and I was participating in this thing that they had called the Native Slam, which is a 72-hour film challenge. And they fly you up there and they pair you with a host in New Zealand, and you have 72 hours to make a film. And then you go down to this festival called Māori Land, and at the end of the festival, they air all of the 72-hour films. So that, coupled with the fact that I was housed with my cinematographer, Chapin Hall, who I had never really met before prior to the trip, but I hadn't talked to him that much. So the fact that I was with him during this process and we went through this together, the 72 hours is like a grueling, stressful amount of time to make a film, but at the end of it, you have a film. And that was really special to me. And Chapin felt the same way. And so he had these beautiful lenses with him. And when we got back to Hawaii, he was going to be there for another week. So he said, if I could write something within a week, he'll shoot it. And that was sort of the impetus for me to write this. I had this loose idea for this film in my head. And so
from what I understand, you did him one better and you wrote it in a day. Is that true?
Well, not in a day, but throughout the week, I sculpted it. And also I live with the lead actor. This is his second time acting. He acted in my last short. And so the fact that I'm spending, like, I'm in such close proximity to him meant that I could, like, bounce ideas off of him, and, like, we could sculpt this thing together pretty intimately. And I feel like I have a pretty good idea of his voice and what he's capable of. So together we were able to craft this thing.
So I'm glad you're bringing that up. The boy and the man in this film are non-professional actors. Was that important to you to utilize non-professional actors?
Yeah, well, it's definitely important. The Wire is a super important text for me, like as a show and as a piece of art. The way that they've incorporated non-actors with professional actors was something I always found really compelling, and especially when they're trying to depict a place that's so specific and a language that's so specific to the region. So that was a model I've looked at. And so with my roommate, we both grew up in Kaneohe, and he knows how these characters speak and he knows how they act. And he grew up in this culture and these sort of the stories that we're trying to tell even closer than I did. So that's a huge part of it.
And this was filmed in Kaneohe?
Yes, this was filmed on the steps of Ohuimanu Elementary, which is where I went to school. And yeah, it was great to return back there and shoot something.
Was that important to you to imbue a really personal aspect of this film?
Yeah, I mean, this film and my prior film were both set in Kaneohe, and they've been sort of the most successful things I've done. And if I'm stepping back, it's probably because I'm sort of trying to write things that I've been closer to. And so, you know, I love where I'm from. I love being from Kaneohe, and I just want to show it. I want to three-dimensionalize the people that live there and also the space in a way that people can understand that it's, yes, it's beautiful, but there are other things that we deal with just like anywhere else.
So a lot of mainstream films that feature Hawaii as a setting have a really unfortunate habit of whitewashing the cast or putting a gloss on daily life here or putting the people of Hawaii secondary to the location. Why was it important to portray a more honest, blue-collar depiction of life here in Hawaii?
I'm just interested in stories that, like, I feel like there's a million stories with white people in it at this point, and there's just not as many with indigenous people. So to me, it's just important to see the people that I grew up with depicted on screen and people who look like myself. And the best way to do that is by casting yourself and making that film yourself, because oftentimes bigger productions can tend to want to come in and whitewash things.
The film features pidgin dialogue. Why was it important to feature that as opposed to something that maybe a wider audience could more easily understand?
To me, pidgin is interwoven into the fabric of Kaneohe identity and Hawaiian identity. And so if we're going to tell this story authentically, that language has to be as authentic as possible. And I just love pidgin in general. I think it's a beautiful dialect, and I hate when people get it wrong. So I really want to use people that I think know how to utilize it.
What did you hope people walked away with when they walked away from seeing this film?
I hope they walked away wanting more, I guess. And I shot this as a proof of concept for a feature film. And so I actually just finished writing the feature script, and we're trying to develop that right now, and we're aiming to shoot that next summer. So hopefully if people liked it and wanted more, they can, you know, stick around and tune in for what we're doing next.
So we touched on this a little bit earlier, but this film presents a really earnest and somewhat complicated portrayal of daily life here. Is that something that you hope more films in the future can take a more active approach?
I think for the Hawaii film community to grow, I think there should be like an array of stories, and they don't all need to be sort of this blue collar, like tougher, rougher on the edges thing. It's just these are the stories right now that I feel are important to tell. So that's what I'm interested in. But, you know, Hawaii is a diverse place and we have many, many, many tones. So this is just one tone I'm interested in right now, but I would like to expand that eventually.
That was the conversation's Harrison Patino talking with Alika Maikau, the director of the award-winning short film, Molokai Bound.